Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this show. And I just dragged myself into this place. Oh, Lord. I don't know if it's the allergies, and I'll try not to sniffle or sneeze in your ear, please, or over the air. And we just, it just groggy. I still did my DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga. And I still do that. This last week, I've done it today. Hey, just Tuesday, so give me a break. But I tell you, I dragged myself through something that normal is still a workout, but it's not too difficult on your body. And I just dragged myself right through it. I dragged myself right through it. So I had to even break the eating right and had a sausage biscuit as well. Well, you never catch me telling you what to eat and what not to eat. But I eat a lot of burgers, so I'm trying to cut back on that and eat a little bit more chicken, turkey, pork, stuff like that, just to change it up a bit. But I am just completely drained. But we have a great guest today on the second segment, and then hopefully I get his name right. Now, if I mess up this name, I tell you, if you can read it, you're going to mess it up too. It's a long one. Let me see how many characters did he have in his last name. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 letters in his last name. Gordon Klingenschmidt. Maybe I got it right. Gordon Klingenschmidt. You got to do the Klingenschmidt like that. Klingenschmidt. Like Sean Connery. 007. Anyway, we're going to have a great one. He's going to talk about, and the subject for our second segment is court-martial chaplains or troops if they talk about Jesus. They're court-martialing chaplains or troops if they talk about Jesus. Now, I was in the military. I was in the Navy. I preached Jesus all the time. In fact, I got in trouble because the glasses that I had broke and had to use my other glasses. And it was the ones you would wear inside a chemical suit or inside a suit with the oxygen. And what happened was that band actually broke, and I had those little, you know, the Swiss, I guess they used to be for the goggles, swimming goggles, used to be a fabric type band on them, and it was still, it had a little bit of elasticity so it can pull in tight on you. And I took that and I wrote Jesus Loves You on the back of mine, and it was white. So I wrote Jesus Loves You, and I was out there driving the ship. Yes, they let me drive the ship, and that was my job. So I'm driving the ship, and you're really just steering and accelerating and decreasing speed. That's really all you're going to be doing. What can you hit in the middle of the ocean? You'd be surprised. You would be surprised what you could hit in the middle of the ocean. And I wrote Jesus Loves You in the back, and there's this SM1 something, Signalman, first class, came up to me and smacked me. Just like if you watch the NCIS and Gibbs slaps him in the back of the head, that's how he just, but his was hard. He smacked me in the back of my head. And the first, conning officer, which was a lieutenant, JG, you know, he was a full lieutenant. He was a lieutenant, looked over and was shocked. This guy slapped me in the back of the head, and he pointed to me in my face and said, "I'm offended by what you have on your head." And I'm probably going to share this story with Gordon. We're going to just call him Gordon. How about that? With Chaplain Gordon. Or Dr. Gordon. And he, this signalman, this first class, smacked me in the back of my head. And I'm like, what's going on? I mean, first of all, you're not expecting to get smacked. And you get smacked. And then you turn around and you look at what's going on. And he goes, "I'm offended by what you have on the back of your head." And I'm like, what? What's in the back of my head? I don't think anything offensive in it. It just told me, it just says Jesus loves you. I go, that offends me. I'm like, well, don't read it. Get over it. And he got all red and mad, like he's about to. You ever see the character, Yosemite Sam, when he starts smoking, toting, wild, you know, okay, you get it. He starts turning red and steam comes out of his legs and his guns and starts shooting and he starts floating in the air. Well, that's what this guy was resembling. And I look at him and I'm like, hey, don't smack me in the back of my head. Just tell me next time. And then he reached to smack me again, and I'm driving. And I was very, very loving back then. I was very, very forgiven back then. I am still today. But I probably gave a little bit more grace. Grace abounded. Let's just say that. Grace abounded with me. I just loved to forgive. And that's not how easy today, is it? That's not easy today to just forgive. And I got smacked. Well, my hands were tied in a way because I knew in the back of my head, you're not supposed to have anything written on there. And not just because it said Jesus loves you, but the rule or the letter of the law reads this. You know, you're out of uniform if anything is not completely Navy issued on you. And you can use glasses, and it was a kind of a gray line. It was my own band that I could probably put on there because it broke, but I had to be a Navy issued band and there couldn't be no graffiti. Even though Jesus loves you is not graffiti, the lieutenant stood up for me. He did. Next time he swung his hand to smack me in my head again, the lieutenant caught his hand and said, "Leave my helmsman alone. And you shouldn't be hitting another enlisted person." And this SM1 got so mad that he stopped him. He goes, "Well, I'm one of brought up in charges." He goes, "Well, how about I bring you up in charges? Because you went over there and smacked him. I don't care what it says." And then he goes, "Seaman Yanez, you know you can't be wearing that like that." I go, "Yes, sir." I go, "My other glasses broke, and I was called up to watch before I can fix them. And this is all I had. I need my glasses to see." He's like, "Okay." Well, I go, "Right after the watch, I'll go get my civilian glasses on." He's like, "That is fine." And he goes, "Okay, we're fine. We're settled." And we took off, and he took off all mad. And I'm just laughing. I'm just laughing. But people around there just were shocked that, first of all, he smacked me. And then it's easy. Okay, it's easier to get mad about Jesus loves you than to say, "Hey, Jesus loves you." And people would enjoy it. Let me explain that for a second. It's easier for people to get upset with you and join in on getting upset than people standing for what the Lord is about. You know, when I was in the military, my faith and my belief in faith was always challenged. But I stood. Whether I was in captain's mass, whether I was in restriction, whether I was in, and a lot of times the captain mass and restriction was because I was extreme, baby. I was extreme. I told you about a couple of weeks ago about on the show when I told you that I actually went out to the oceans and told the mountains to move. That was me. That was me. That was the man of faith that I was, and they didn't ever move. Praise God. And if you want to hear that, look back a couple of shows, and that's the broadcast on that one. But I was always a man of faith, and if you challenged my faith, I would sit there until I believed. I dared to believe that God can do what God says he can do. Anyway, just thought I'd throw in that story to you. We're going to have a military man or a man that works in the military, and we're going to have him on the show with us and talk to him a little bit about some of the rights that we have in there. And I know when I was in there was not many rights you could stand on in faith. I mean, it wasn't catered to that. If you wanted to be in a faith place, well, become a preacher, become a pastor, but don't be in the military. That was pretty much back there in the 90s when I was in there. Now we're 2013, seeing what's going on, and people almost getting court-martialed for mentioning the name of Jesus or praying in Jesus' name. We're going to find out what's going on with that. We're going to believe God to do amazing things throughout this show and see what happens in it. I've been working on a video, my friends. Been taking a long time on it. I started last Wednesday, and I'm almost gonna be finished with it. Well, you know, a week on a video is not bad. I had to find all the footage, then I had to see what kind of story I wanted to tell with it. And it's a video about the work we're doing, Rev Life, not Revlon. We don't sell makeup or lipstick or anything, although I have had to use makeup lately for the radio show, for the TV show, not for the radio show. Who said that? Not for the radio show. Just because I have to do that. Well, if I was using it for the radio show, then you know I have some issues. But I use it only for the television show because the lights are so bright. In fact, this last show, it was like Jesus was coming into the room. It was too bright. My cameraman and my control room guy fell asleep on the show. Literally, not literally falling asleep, but figuratively, because they didn't catch the lighting. I'm not going to complain over the air about them, but we have to fix it in post. It's too late. The show's broadcast tonight, so there's looks like the second coming of the Lord on Midwatch night. You'll see my shots are going to be very bright on my parts when I shoot the teaching and stuff like that. So anyway, my friends, want to make sure you understand that God is doing great things for you, and that we're excited to see how this all works out in faith. We normally don't have guests every single week, but this week and this next week, we sign up a great deal with special guests, and they take care of my Tuesdays for me, and I get an email showing who my guest is going to be, and I do some research and pray and see how to orchestrate the show and how God wants it to do, and this is our second week doing that. Actually, no, this is the first week. Last week, we just booked two people on the air. One of them didn't show up, and that was not great. That was never great. It's never great when you don't have anyone show up. The other one did, and that's good. And we've had Kim here before, so Kim Cotola was here twice already now. So it's awesome to have him on the air. And my hope is this, my friends, and in this past Sunday, even at church, I'm noticing and believing that God is using me as a catalyst of faith. What's catalyst of faith? What's a person that brings the faith in the room? You know, it is not me that heals. Praise God. It is not me that delivers. Praise God. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't heal a cockroach. I couldn't raise a cockroach from the dead. But it's faith. It is faith. And when you have a minister that has faith, it inspires you. It makes you want to do things. The other night on the TV show, I was sharing this, that when you're in the right church, in the right place, and you're under the right anointing, that you will want to do things for God. You will want to be moving. I was sharing about my friend Pastor Matt, who I just finished texting, and we're just texting him right now before the show started, and about his new books that they're going to be launching. We're going to get them finished, most of them finished this week for him. And what it is is this: when you're under that right anointing, you're just going to want to do things. You can't help but want to do things for God. You believe. Because the minister brings you to that believing level. And when you have a minister that can bring you to that believing level, then you just can't help yourself. You can't help yourself but just want to do something for the Lord. In fact, I was talking to Pastor Maz about visiting his churches and stuff while we were looking for another church that where God was leading us. He said, "David, I don't know if you want to come over here, because I am a man of action and faith, and the way I preach is going to make you want to do something for the Lord." And I'm like, "Okay, I can understand that." And he's true. It's true. When you hear the right word, and when someone's out there teaching you, it's amazing what God can do. It's amazing how God can move. It's amazing what God will do and how he could challenge your own beliefs, your own thoughts, your own ideas. You just trust him that he can do it. Trust him that it can happen. Believe that he will do it, and he will. He will. So as you believe in God and you trust in God to do the things that you're going to have in your life, trust also that he has your best interest at hand, because he does. You know, when I'm putting together this video, and it's about 3 years of video and pictures of kids and stuff that we've been supporting. This next month, we're going to be able to amp up our support a little bit more. We have a longtime donor just coming back that's going to be able to be a blessing to our ministry and to the kids overseas. And we're excited about that. We're excited about that. And we're excited to see them, the kids that we're ministering to, growing up. I have plenty of pictures of the kids, video, and I've been working on it because I wanted to tell the story without me telling the story. And you know, me just interject a few words. I'm using Julia Lyce's album, one of her albums, one of the songs from one of the albums. And it's When I Kiss You Goodnight, I believe that's the name of the song. I can find out for sure, but either way, it's a beautiful song. It mixes perfectly with the pictures, and of course, I have the 800 number, so it looks like one of those videos that you say, "Can you support these kids?" It's not. This is more of a praise report and saying this is what's going on, and I made it for my donors, and that's my intent, was to make it for my donors. It's about 4.5 minutes long, and it's good. It ministers. It tells a story, and I want you to hear it and view it. It'll be posted hopefully in a few weeks. We'll have it posted and see what happens with it and see how God works with it. But it's just another video that we're putting together, and I've been writing these things and putting them together. And the reason I'm telling you this is because don't ever put anything aside what God has for you. God has great things for you. He wants to give you powerful, amazing things, and it takes little things. I started with my first video learning the editing system, and now I'm getting a little faster and better at this one. It's because I've been editing for quite some time now, several years, but I'm using new equipment, new software. And talking about new equipment, we just put the new camera for this church. We're going to install this next week. We just put the camera in there, and it's amazing. I have DV in the studio. I do. And I saved up money, bought the two cameras I wanted for the digital video. And then I put this HD camera in there, which is a prosumer level, which means just about right before you get into a pro series type format, that this is the step into it. Not the step through it, but the step into it. And it's HD, full HD shot. The 30 seconds before, the intro and outro of the commercial that I'm making, just to test the camera and see how it's working, put on a tripod, run some volume to it, yeah, just some simple basic test, and it blew the room away. The quality was so much better. The quality was so much better than anything that we've done before on video. It actually made out the picture of everything, and I tell you, it made the picture, you can actually count how many lions are in the picture behind us, and on the DV, it's just kind of glary on that picture, and it's the back of the set. The very back of the set, we have it over-lighted on purpose just to bring some brightness to the room, and with this camera, it white-balanced everything, made a perfect picture with the auto exposure, and it looked awesome. In fact, I found out about HD. There ain't no hiding anything on HD. It's going to find it. It's going to find it. It's going to be crystal clear. You're going to see your blemishes. You're going to see it. So make sure you wear makeup and you have your blemishes covered, because HD will expose those blemishes. And you can see now, like even when you go to the TV studios, movie theaters, and you go to, and even on your home television, and this, the new formats that are out there, it's just so lifelike. You can count freckles, basically. And before, you couldn't do that. And you could only usually do that with film, and not the clarity that it is today. So, it's celluloid film is a good film, and it's probably the highest quality that you can get at that time. But today, HD. I'm on board. I wasn't on board before I shot with that camera. Now I am on board, because I can see the benefit of it and the great use of it. So, anyway, the video's coming out good. Just got to do a few cuts and edits on the audio, and then that file is ready to go, and we'll be having that posted and put on the air for you as well. It's going to be on our channels, all three channels. It'll play, and then also during our broadcast, we might just play that in another commercial just to show it and see how it looks. And anyway, I trust God is going to do it. I trust God's going to make amazing things happen with it. There's no doubt in my mind. There is no doubt in my mind. Well, I just want to talk to you again and again about believing in God and trusting in Him, that He will do great things for you, and that He will make you believe. You have to believe. If you don't believe, you need to make yourself a belief. You must make yourself believe. And the Bible says, "Blessed is he that has not seen, but yet believeth." But yet believeth. There's something about believing. I've gone to several type of revival meetings, several type of leadership conferences, several type of healing ministry services. I've been through a lot of them. I can't say I've been to every minister. No one could say that, but I've been to a lot of them. And the ones that I've been to, I tell you, there's one thing that's common in all of them, and they all say this: you must believe. You must believe. Remember when Jesus prayed for that one person, that one blind man, I forgot which one it was. He looked at them and said, "Do you believe that I can do this for you? And the guy looked at him and said, Yes, Lord, I believe it. And then Jesus said, Well then, according to your faith, let it be done. According to what you believe, the Lord used the word believe specifically for that individual. Do you believe? What is belief? What is believing? That you believe that God can do something for you. What is that? Well, I'd have to say it's a lot of different things. Most of it, I think you can go a little bit stronger with it and say, do you know? Do you know that I can do this? How many of us know that God is able to do everything that we need? Everything that we want. Everything that we plan to have or want to have, that He can do it all. There's no healing that God cannot fix. There is no issues that God cannot take care of. You just have to trust in Him and believe that He can do it. You trust in Him and believe He can do it, and He will. He will make things happen for you beyond a shadow of a doubt. Beyond. I know that God has several different people that have been a blessing to my life. And I love all my friends. I love all my ministering friends. I love them all, each one of them. And I see some of them really strong in ministry. I have some friends that have huge churches. Others have huge evangelistic ministry. Some of them go around the world. No main names, no big names, but just men of God that just believe. They believe. That's all they do is believe. And I see these guys, and at any time, every time, I guess, that I talk to them and share with them what we're doing here at the station and the publishing and the broadcasting and trusting God, believing in God, they tell me the same thing. Believe. Now that sounds like Pastor George from South Texas. Believe. He has a certain way he says some words, and when he says believe, it's just powerful. And you have to believe. There's no doubt about it. There has to be a point of your life that you're saying, God, I believe. Believe that you can do it, and you will. Believe that you can move this mountain, and it will. Believe that you are healed, and you are. Believe that you have what you need today, and you shall have it. Believe that your marriage will be fixed, and nothing will stop it. Nothing can come between it, because God put you together. Believe that your whole heart and your whole family will be saved, and they will. When you get to the thoughts and ideas of believing and wanting to believe, you can't help but just want to worship God and believe that He does it. Many times I have been challenged. Many times in the challenge, I do the wrong things. Do we have anyone out there like that? That during the challenge, you do the wrong thing. Well, I'm the type that just still believes. I'm the type that if I mess up that second, I turn around and I believe. We can't meditate or dwindle or dwell. Or dwindle. Not dwindle. Dwell. Dwell on the past. We can't dwell on the past. I told you it was a hard day just getting here. Already, but I already had a guest scheduled, so I couldn't play another show, and I need to get in here. So hopefully my guest is a talker, and I'll be able just to throw him some softballs and let him hit him right out the park. Hopefully. I believe he probably is. If he's anything that I've been reading on, then I'm sure he is. But praise God. You have to believe. You have to trust God. You have to know that God wants good things for you. You hear that all the time. How many times have you been to church and you've sat there and the pastor said, God wants you to have good things. God wants you to have things that wants you to prosper and be in health. God wants you to know that you're the head and not the tail. God wants you to know everywhere you turneth, every way you turneth, you are blessed. God wants you to know that every time you, anything your hands touch shall be blessed. Whatever they work in will be blessed. God wants you to know that you're a tree of, that it's a tree of life, that you are like a tree planted by the water that will have its limbs will grow strong, its leaves will grow in the season. And you know, that's the kind of things you want to hear. That's the kind of things you should be hearing. It's good to have a good positive message about life, but you need the message of faith, the message of strength in God, the message that God wants you to go further than you've gone before. You got to have that message in you. How many times have we heard that? And you go, well, I've heard this before. Yeah, I've heard it many, many, many times. My life is still the same. It hasn't changed. It's never going to change. It's never, ever, ever going to change. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's not going to change. How many times have we heard that? Well, I will tell you this, my friends, and this is a fact. This is a fact, my friends. You have to believe. You have to believe, no matter what. I don't care how many times you've heard it. If it's been 15 years, that may be for someone right now. 15 years you've been believing. 14 years you've been believing. And you're on your 15th year now. And you're wondering, why do I need to keep believing? I've believed before, and nothing's ever changed. I tell you right now, my friends, keep believing, because you're in your season. You're that tree planted by the water in Psalms 1. And you are going to receive everything you need. You are going to receive it because you believed for this long. 20 years, 26 years I've been in ministry. 15 of those years, I waited and believed. 18 of those years, we started out running and doing things. Didn't work. Now, it's the last 6 years of our ministry has been phenomenal. I don't even remember the days I didn't minister and do well. All I remember is ministering now and seeing the fruit of my labor. Praise God. I think that's a great time to go to break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Here is Terry Squires with One Impact.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
You've worked so hard. You've done what you've been called to do. You expect big things, and then it doesn't happen. Disappointment creeps into your life, and it brings you down. What happened? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will impact your life and the lives around you. One Impact Live is based on the One Impact Bible published by Zondervan. There is one God, you are one person, and you have one impact. And today is your day to change a life. Why do we feel like we have it all under control? I know in my own life, disappointments hit me when things just don't go my way. What about you? Maybe it's something you've been working on for years and you think it's the most creative work ever, a one of a kind, and then somebody criticizes it and puts it down. Or maybe your child hasn't lived up to your expectations and made choices on their own. Or maybe it's a failed relationship. You know, we've all had those kinds of disappointments, and they are not fun. But we must remember what God tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And I am so thankful his ways and his thoughts are different from mine, even though I strive to be like him on a daily basis. My life would be an utter mess if I truly believe I had it under control. I don't. My ways and thoughts are often self-seeking, even when I think I'm doing what I've been called to do. God's ways are awesome, mighty, and powerful. His thoughts are about his will, his children, and his kingdom. When you're facing disappointments and you feel that God is distant, he is doing great things through your life. We often don't see it until years later. You know, a friend told me years ago, you have to go through to get through. And often when we look back, we see his powerful hands on our lives. You know, he might be building and molding your character. He might be preparing you for a ministry bigger than you can even imagine. He might be teaching you how to persevere because you are going to do great things through him. It only takes one person to change the course of history. Let go of your disappointments today and be patient. Wait on the one who's going to do great things through your life in his timing and in his ways. I often think about Joseph and how he must have felt when he was sold by his brothers, thrown into prison, and forgotten. Talk about being disappointed. But God didn't forget about him, and he had other plans for his life. Big plans, and he lifted him up to govern over the land of Egypt and provide for all his children during the 7 years of the great famine. I love what Joseph told his brothers. In Genesis 45, verse 7, he says, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Joseph wasn't bitter. He wasn't disappointed. He knew his calling. And you know, God is not going to forget about you either. He loves you, he knows you, and he sees you. And he has an awesome plan for your life. If you have any questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. Visit me at terrysquires.com. So until next time, make your one impact and change a life.
Welcome back to the show, and we have our next guest with us, Ms. Dr. Gordon Klingenschmidt. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well, sir. God bless you, and God bless your listeners in Jesus' name. Can I say that on your show?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just covering that earlier. You know, I used to be in the Navy. Let's see, how long was I in there? 3 years? And I was in Long Beach, and I always used to get in trouble because I'd always pray out loud on my radio headset upstairs doing watch.
So, nice.
But I guess not in the 90s. It was okay. I didn't get too much in trouble in saying in Jesus' name. But and you know, 2013. Tell us what you've been battling out there, brother.
Well, last week the Pentagon spokesman came out and issued what I perceive as a threat against Christians. He said, "Quote." Religious proselytization is not permitted within the Department of Defense. Court martials and non-judicial punishments are decided on a case-by-case basis. So here's a DOD spokesman who's threatening to court martial Christians if they talk about Jesus Christ. That's the opposite of the First Amendment, and so it caused a great outcry. 130,000 people signed petitions to defend free speech for military chaplains. In just 1 week. And so he backpedaled. The same spokesman came out later and said, this is Lieutenant Commander Nate Christensen, quote, "Service members can share their faith, evangelize, but must not force unwanted attempts to convert others, proselytization." So he's saying it's okay to evangelize, but it's not okay to proselytize. And I wonder if you can explain to me the difference between those two words.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Well, the next Air Force spokesman, Lieutenant Colonel Laurel Tingley, came out and clarified those remarks, a different person, but pretty much the same content. She said, quote, "When on duty or in an official capacity, Air Force members are free to express their personal religious beliefs as long as it does not make others uncomfortable. Proselytizing goes over that line." So apparently now the distinction between evangelizing and proselytizing is evangelizing is when you talk about Jesus and everybody is comfortable. But proselytizing is when you talk about Jesus and somebody is uncomfortable. So they've shifted the burden now. Instead of protecting the free speech rights of our military members, they're protecting, and they believe the First Amendment somehow protects the easily offended ears of the atheist complainer. If someone is uncomfortable with your speech about Jesus, then you must be court-martialed for proselytizing, and that's the new DOD policy.
Wow, that's amazing, because I was sharing a story when I was in the Navy. I had Jesus Loves You on one of my glasses they give us, and I got in trouble from a signalman, smacked me in the back of the head because I had that. And he didn't get in trouble, but I got in trouble a little bit for having that. And that's amazing. So how are the chaplains reacting? I mean, are the chaplains' hands tied now that when they go and they minister, because they have different faiths there, are they seem to be tied now when they minister as well?
Well, there is a hostility. And by the way, thank you for your military service. I was a Navy chaplain, and I served about 21 years as an Air Force Academy graduate, as an Air Force missile officer for 11 years, Navy chaplain for about 5 years. And yes, I think chaplains are being persecuted. I think I'm not the only one. I'll tell you my story in a minute. But about 65 chaplains are suing the Navy, all of them evangelical. If they're Baptist or Pentecostal, you cannot get promoted in the Navy if you pray and preach in Jesus' name. So there is a great, purge that's been happening for several years now. But in my case, the Navy did send me to court-martial at my own request in 2006. When the Secretary of the Navy wrote a bad policy, Second of Instruction 1730.7c, this policy mandated that chaplains have to pray what they call non-sectarian prayers outside of Sunday chapel. Well, non-sectarian is just a code word for don't pray in Jesus' name.
Oh, wow.
And so this was the written policy. It said commanders have power to hold accountable chaplains if they pray in Jesus' name in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong clothes. And so I defied this policy. I figure if they're going to punish chaplains who pray in Jesus' name, then I want to be the first. And I volunteered to violate that policy. I took a stand in front of the White House. I wore my full dress uniform, and on a Thursday morning, I prayed in Jesus' name on national television. So I violated that policy. I went back to work. I explained what I did, and they said, well, we've got to punish you. And they tried to do it quietly with a piece of paper in my record. But I said, no, I demand my legal right to a court martial, and it went to a military trial.
Wow. How long did that last?
Well, that was in it was a 3-day trial in September of 2006, and the judge had to decide. There was a prosecutor, and I was on defense for my faith, and there was a jury, and the judge had to decide, did he violate what they call a lawful order, or does the law somehow protect military chaplains' rights? Well, he ignored the Navy uniform regulations, which say chaplains have the option to wear the uniform during any act of public worship. Instead, he enforced the bad Navy policy, 1730.7c, and the judge wrote in his opinion that I violated a lawful order that public worship is protected, but only inside of the Sunday chapel. Since I prayed on a Thursday morning outside of the White House, I was not engaged in public worship, although I might be worshiping in public. So he's splitting hairs to say that public worship is safe, but worshiping in public is not safe. And I was literally found guilty of violating that Navy policy of praying in Jesus' name in my uniform and disobeying quote-unquote lawful orders.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So were you discharged, or you just got...
Yes, I was honorably discharged, but I was vindicated by the U.S. Congress. There was a great victory and a great outcry when my story ran in 500 newspapers, and it caused a revival across America. 300,000 Americans signed a petition for Jesus, and Congress rebuked the Navy. Congress agreed with me and ordered the Navy to reverse that bad policy that was enforced against me. So now the law has changed, and 1730.7c is off the books, And we have restored, thanks be to God, free speech for all the other military chaplains to pray in Jesus' name, even in public, even in uniform, 7 days a week. That was a great victory for other chaplains, but unfortunately it was never grandfathered back to my case. And so I did lose a 16-year career. I lost $1 million pension. My wife and I were evicted from our home on the Navy base, and people asked me, "Chaps, that's a great price to pay, but was it worth it? Would you do it all over again?" And what do you think I tell them?
Of course you would. Absolutely.
Yes.
Amen.
I would, because I defend the First Amendment of the Constitution, the entire Constitution, really, against the domestic enemies of the Constitution who are trying to infringe on our free speech rights. And don't you think it's more important that our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines should have, and especially our chaplains, the same freedom of religious expression that they sacrifice sometimes on the battlefield to defend for others, and now they're being deprived of those rights themselves? So I don't think that's right, and that's why we're taking a stand. At our website, prayinjesusname.org, we have some free petitions you can sign out at prayinjesusname.org, and we will convert those petitions into real fax paper on your congressman's desk to defend religious free speech in wake of this recent threat to court-martial Christians who talk about Jesus.
Oh, wow. Well, tell us about that. I mean, first of all, let me ask you this question. You were in the military for so long, and then being a chaplain as well for 5 years. Did you see any other faith, facing persecution like the Christian church, the Christian faith with Jesus' name? Was there any other issues on other religions?
Well, on paper, they say that all the religions should be treated equally, but it seems like, you know, they would never punish a Muslim imam for praying to Allah. I defended my Jewish sailors' right to eat kosher food. I defended my Muslim sailors' right to use the ship's microphone even to say the prayer to Allah. Let the Catholics stand up and pray to Mary, but when it's my turn, I should be allowed to pray in Jesus' name. And unfortunately, it's only the evangelicals who are being passed over for promotion in the Navy. Those kinds of chaplains, if they talk too much about Jesus, end up, I suppose, offending somebody. My commanding officer, even one time, punished me for quoting the Bible in church, in the base chapel, during optionally attended Christian worship. I said in my sermon in the chapel that Jesus is the way to heaven, and I quoted John 3:36. If anyone has the Son, he has eternal life. If anyone does not have the Son, he does not have eternal life, for God's wrath remains upon him. Well, my commanding officer punished me in writing 3 times for quoting the Bible in chapel, said that I quoted exclusive Bible verses that hurt his feelings, and unfortunately, that evaluation is still in my service record, which is part of the reason I have a lawsuit today in the D.C. Court of Claims to try and get back my career, get back my pension, and I pray that the courts will uphold justice and defend the Constitution even when some Navy commanders don't like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to keep you in prayer for that. Just as much, we're going to keep you in prayer. Now, what is the troops? Do they have problems as well out there talking about their faith?
Yes, I think there are persecutions, especially in wake of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You see the Obama administration making aggressive strides to homosexualize the military and to take away, for example, our troops' rights to freedom of conscience or freedom of speech or freedom to object. Say, I don't want to share a bunk or a tent or a foxhole on the front lines with somebody who's ogling me in the shower or trying to grope me in the rack. I think our Christian troops need freedom to object and to abstain and to maybe even have common sleeping quarters or common, separate shower facilities. I think when the government comes after the chaplains, of course, the next step is the soldiers. They're going to apply that policy, and they're now threatening court-martial not only to the chaplains, but to any soldier who shares his faith in Jesus Christ.
That's amazing. Now, do military members forsake their First Amendment rights when they actually put on a uniform?
No. In fact, the courts have held the opposite, that military members do not forsake their First Amendment rights when they put on a uniform. That's one of the reasons the courts have upheld the idea of chaplaincy, that when a sailor goes out to sea, he does not leave his religion behind on the shore, that you have to send a chaplain along with him to facilitate the free exercise of his religion, maybe to distribute communion on Sunday morning, or to hear his confession, or to administer last rites. When these soldiers, especially in the Marines or the Army, are dying and bleeding on the battlefield, they deserve the right and perhaps even the last rites to be tended to by a chaplain, at least, if not of their own faith, at least of a Christian faith. I think now 75% of Americans are self-identify as Christian. And the vast majority, perhaps upwards of 90% of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines self-identify as Christian. So we need to be able to facilitate their free exercise of religion, and that's why chaplains are mandatory, according to the First Amendment, according to the courts, have held that freedom of religion means that you have to have chaplains in uniform.
Mm. Amen. Now, what are you doing now? I know you have Pray in Jesus' Name, the website. What can they expect there? And then what kind of activities are you doing personally?
Thank you. I've been out of the military now since 07. I was honorably discharged. And I've traveled and preached in 28 states. I would love to come to your state if you can find a church to allow me to preach. But we've also defended religious freedom for other people. We've run petition campaigns or free speech campaigns, or often we're involved in rallies or sometimes even lawsuits to defend other people's right to pray in Jesus' name. And we have succeeded now in helping change the law in 12 states to defend freedom of speech for hospital chaplains or police chaplains or pastors who give the invocation at a city council meeting or a state legislature. When the government tries to censor the content of our prayers because they're afraid of a lawsuit by atheist complainers, and the government tries to censor the name of Jesus, we go there and we petition the government. So we get citizens active, and people can sign many of those petitions at our website, prayinjesusname.org. And you can have those petitions delivered to Congress, and we will together defend the First Amendment. We've helped change the law now in 12 states, including Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, New York, Oklahoma, Oregon, California, and most recently Washington State. And we've had a great success because people are willing to get involved. When the church stands up and takes back the government, then we're able to make a difference. But if we're silent, then our freedoms will be taken away.
Now, how do you get these petitions going? Does someone call you and let you know what's going on, or you're watching the news and you see where you can step in to be a blessing? How does that work?
Yes, I have a daily half-hour TV show, and we stay pretty well alerted. People do send us emails. But also, we're newly affiliated with a new service and a sister site called FaxCongress.com. Again, that's fax, like a fax machine, faxcongress.com, where any citizen can create any petition, and it will instantly be converted from electronic signature into real paper on your fax, on your congressman's desk. So I pray that people will sign some of the petitions we have published there at faxcongress.com, and you can do that instantly. And if you don't like the way we wrote the petition, you can write your own.
That's amazing. Now, is there any other cases that are out there that you want to share about that's possibly happening right now that you're a part of, that you're trying to help work, or that there may be rulings on and stuff?
Yes. We recently had a victory in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Even the liberal left coast, the most liberal court in America, ruled unanimously that it's okay to pray in Jesus' name. And I think the case was Reuben versus Lancaster. But in other districts, they ruled the opposite. For example, in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals in New York, a three-judge panel just ruled that it's illegal to pray in Jesus' name. If you're at a town council meeting, or if you're inviting a pastor to say the invocation or the benediction before or after any government meeting. So the Second Circuit case is called Galloway versus Greece, and you can Google that and see the case law there, where the federal judge said it's okay to pray in Jesus' name, but the appeals court, a three-judge panel in the Second Circuit, overruling, I think, New York and New Jersey and maybe Vermont, I'm not sure, but they have ruled it's not okay to pray in Jesus' name. So they're appealing now to the United States Supreme Court, and I pray that the court will take that case, will hear the arguments, and will rule for once and for all whether it's legal or illegal. I think, of course, it's constitutional and fully legal to pray in Jesus' name at a public meeting. I don't see how the enemies of the Constitution, the atheist complainers, are able to censor the content of our prayers, but that's exactly what they did in New York. So we need to have that overturned by the Supreme Court.
You know, it's interesting. We live in America, where it was founded by men of faith, and you have to second guess. You know, some people are put in position of second guessing if they can pray in Jesus' name. I was at a college function for my wife where she works, and they asked me to do the benediction and to deliver the scripture, and she just graduated a program or something. So I went up there, and I didn't even think about it. I just said in Jesus' name, because that's how I pray. And there was a few murmurings and stuff afterwards, but the people that were complaining came up and asked me why I prayed it like that. And I said, because that's my faith. And that's what I believe. And if you're up there praying, I would want you to do what you believe. And they agreed with me. Well, that's true. You should be able to do that. And I don't know why. It seems like we ruffle many feathers, but we know why. The enemy is a liar, and he wants to take the power of the name of Jesus out of our prayer. And that's what adds everything in that we need, is the name of Jesus. So.
Yes. And you're not talking about people as their enemies. You're talking about the devil that gets inside of some people.
Yes.
That cringes at the name of Jesus. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual, and they're not carnal, and we pray in Jesus' name the way they did in Acts chapter 4. You must remember that Peter and John were hauled in front of the Sanhedrin and ordered, "You must not preach or teach or anything at all in Jesus' name." But they said, "Who are you, Pharisees? Should we obey men or should we obey God?" And they disobeyed men, and they obeyed God, and they kept on preaching and teaching in Jesus' name. But they were flogged in Acts chapter 5 for their disobedience, and yet they rejoiced that they were found worthy to share in the suffering of Christ, even as they were flogged for talking about Jesus.
Amen. You know, we read in the Bible that it said in the last days, you know, man's heart will wax cold. And they don't want to hear. The enemy does not want Jesus' name proclaimed anywhere. So, and I'm encouraging listeners, if you're out there and you have opportunity to pray in Jesus' name, don't hide it. You know, believe in God and be bold in your faith. The Bible wants you to be bold in your faith and not query and not be worried about anything. Trust that God will take care of you. Now, don't go become a nuisance. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you have opportunity, don't put aside your faith just to be popular or to be liked. You do what God shows you to do in your heart. And it's a great thing you do, my brother. Give us the website again and where they can get involved with helping you.
Thank you. I pray that people would sign up for our email alerts and sign our petitions at our website, prayinjesusname.org. Again, that's prayinjesusname.org. Thank you so much for having me on the show. God bless you and God bless your listeners in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We love you, my brother. And anything you need, anything talked about or issues that come up, we want you back on the show. Let us know what's going on. It's great that you informed us on this. I didn't really know how much of a big difference it is in the military now than when I served, but I can tell what the influences that affected our country is, of course, affecting our military.
Thank you so much. Call me anytime.
All right, God bless you. You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Amen. Now, that was a great interview that we had with Dr. Chaps, is what he goes by as well, Dr. Chaplain, Mr. Gorton James Klingensmith. That's a long name. Hey, it's a good thing to have people on the air that we can minister to and that can minister to us as well and that have such information that just changes things. And now, doesn't that enlighten you a little bit more? Don't you understand the issues everyone goes through in the military now? Did you know that you couldn't say in Jesus' name in a military event, and that they were trying to break that down, that you couldn't? Why can everyone else say however they want to say what they're going to do, and whatever faith they have, and they're, you never see their rights thrown at them in their face, and never see that they're not able to pray? Well, I'm telling you, my friends, I want Christians to know, stop getting comfortable. Don't get comfortable. Don't just fit in to where you think you're okay and people like you. It's okay. I love people liking me. But if you got to pray in Jesus' name and you got to offend someone, then you're helping them, because you're letting them know who is Lord over your life. You're letting them know the true Savior of the world. Now, I'm not saying, like I was saying earlier, I'm not saying just go over there and throw it in their face and say, in Jesus' name. No. Do it right. Do it orderly. And when you have opportunity to speak the name of the Lord out, let it flow. And depend on the Holy Ghost to do the rest. Depend on that. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You could email me, David@RevMediaNetwork.com. That's David@RevMediaNetwork.com. RevMediaNetwork.com. Give us a holler. A holler. Let us know what you're doing and how this show is blessing you. We are just continuing these shows Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we're playing archives on the other 3 days, and I'm seeing a good spike in our listening, so we're knowing that this is working. So again, one thing, our guest, Dr. Gordon Klingensmith, and we want to pray for him. I want you to keep Dr. Gordon in prayer. He is well deserving of the pension that he had in the military. He is well deserving. He put 20 years into defending your constitutional rights. And he is a workman is worthy of his hire, is what the word says, but also that the devil has to return in plunder. Can we say plunder? In plunder what he has stolen 7 times more than was taken. And I believe that Dr. Gordon will get 7 times more than what he had lost from the military. He is supposed to be getting his million dollar, you know, over a course of years, million dollar retirement. And they took it away because he said in Jesus' name. I don't think that's right. You know that's not right. We're going to believe and pray for him. And Lord, that you will deliver everything back to him that he lost in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I tell you, you put 20 years into a country in a ministry or a military, you should get your pension, no matter what. But they're just excuses, and we're gonna pray that to existence and see great things happen to them, and we're gonna believe it in Jesus' name. We will. Amen. Well, thank you for being a part of the broadcast. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for being faithful to just being some great supporters.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.